حضرت مفتی عبدالقادر صاحب, السلام علیکم و رحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. صاحب, وی ہیو سم گڈ کوسچنز ہیر دس مارننگ, انشاء اللہ اف یو ریڈی وی کین فائر اپ.
وعلیکم السلام و رحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. وی ریڈی لائک ایور ریڈی بہتری مولانا, انشاء اللہ. جی,
جزاک اللہ. اے کے, کین مسلم گیٹ میریڈ وائل فاسٹنگ؟ سلینا.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. Thank you very much, my sister Salina. You know the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beloved daughter, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. The Prophet himself performed the nikah and the marriage ceremony during this month of Ramadan. While fasting also is fine, nighttime also is fine. And remember, the son-in-law was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and so totally permissible. There's no problem with that, my sister Salina.
Sir, can Muslims act in movies as real Muslims and read portion of the Quran in the movie? Is this a means of propagating towards Islam?
There is a book that all of you should read. We don't agree with everything there, but in the starting of that book, the Arabic is called Al-Halal Wal-Haram Fil Islam. In English, it's called The Lawful and the Unlawful, or The Lawful and the Prohibited. And the author is Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi, rahimahullah. He passed away just recently at a ripe old age of 96 years old or so, and is buried there in Qatar, in Doha. Nevertheless, Allah Ta'ala forgive him, some fatwas and verdicts, we do not agree with him. But in the beginning, in the introduction, he wrote some very good principles. One principle he wrote, he said, many a time people's intentions are very good, but the methodology they adopt and the means they use is not Islamic. Now take this here. The brother's intention is good. He wants to take Islam to the masses, to the public, and so forth. But now you say you must go to the entertainment industry, film industry, and so forth and so on. And then people must act there as Muslims and read Quran. So the fatwa, the verdict will be absolutely haram, not permissible, and so forth and so on. You see, my brother, anything in life, when you want to judge it, always look at the consequences. Just look at the movie industry today, Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood, Tiger Hood, whatever you want to look at. You will see that there is so much nudity, there is so much music, there is so much fornication, adultery, gay brigade, and people send all these messages to me and they say we are ashamed. But then I pose the question to them that how come you still keeping the TV and buying bigger TVs and so forth and so on? First was a straight screen, now is a curved straight screen and this screen, and yes, all money making gimmicks and so forth. So Islam will never allow that. The best way of presenting Islam to the non-Muslims will be via our own example, whether it be in our honesty, in our business, whether our character, whether our translation or explanation of the Noble Quran, the teaching, preaching of Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or we meet people on a one-to-one and so forth. So see this morning that before I went for prayer, and what happened, my brother Sean. So I hope you're listening to us, my brother Abdullah Sean, and you should tell us what is your name, Islamic name you have chosen. So we will be elated, delighted to announce that as well. And I went to the mosque and masjid and I announced it there. See, a Jewish brother today, they want to eliminate and extinguish Islam. Chapter 61, verse 8, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُتْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Their motive, intention is to extinguish the radiance, effulgence of Allah with their mouths, with their media, with their hasbara. Hasbara is a Jewish term for propaganda. But Allah motivates us. Wallahu mutimmu nurihi walau karihal kafirun. Almighty Allah will let Islam prevail in all parts of the world, although the non-Muslims hate it, detest it. Monona, when I come back after Salat, then I go feed the birds and so forth. And as soon as I was walking there, some droplets fell, you know. I just looked up and said, Ya Allah, Allah malaka shukru kullu, walaka alhamdu kullu. When it just night stopped, and just this first few droplets fell, I said, Ya Allah, this is your special mercy. What must you read, O Muslim, O Muslimah, when the droplets start coming? Say, Hadith in Sahih Muslim, Hadithu ahadin bi Rabbi. Hadithu ahadin bi Rabbi, the latest bounty from my sustainer, nourisher. Imagine Allah enveloping us with His special, special mercy in this Mubarak month of Ramadan Mubarak. Special occasion, people embrace Islam. So that is our message. We have the best, we must share it with the rest.
Sir, why are Muslims so stingy? Even in death, they only bury their dead in piece of cloth. Why not suit and tie, Mufti Sahab?
My brother, let us just rectify that situation and question of yours before I respond. We Muslims are the most generous people on this earth. To you, my brother, my sister, let us just go back 2, 3, 4 years. You know, during the peak of the COVID, and whether we call it plandemic and scamdemic, you might call it pandemic, be that as it may. Then the non-Muslims, the whites and others also, were really struggling. They couldn't find bread, they couldn't find milk, they couldn't find water, and so forth. The Muslims from our mosque, we made arrangements. We told people, just stand there, men one side, women one side, whatever it is, and we will give you everything, and gratis, and we gave it to you pro bono, we gave it to you free of charge. And that was to show how many people came, whites, non-Muslims, and now non-whites, Indians and others, African, to thank the Muslim community. A friend in need is a friend indeed. Say, I'm a millionaire, I'm a rich person, but I didn't have a liter of milk in my house. I didn't have a loaf of bread in my house, and you rescued me and my family. I will never forget your favor upon me. So that is what Muslims are all about. We are the most generous people on earth. Now let us see regarding our burial. You see, the mistake you are making is this. You think that any religion must be for the elite or the rich only. Islam is a religion, remember, for all types of people, all races, all countries, all circumstances. Now, if you take today's world statistics, you must remember that there are 8 billion plus people on the face of this earth. Half the population, remember, fall in the category of poor and destitute. Do you know less than 100 families, they are controlling the world with their resources and assets and dollars and what have you, and they buy off the politicians. For what, you must remember, if it was an African country, if it was an Indian country, if it was a Muslim country, straight away you should find there should be sanctions, there should be so many other things happening. But because it is apartheid, terrorist, Nazi, Israel, and you, the whiteies, and America, Europe have self-interest there. So therefore, you can't even apply sanctions to them, despite their cold-blooded murder and premeditated murder of innocent children, babies, and infants, and innocent men and women. So the world is witnessing your double standards and hypocrisy and so forth. So Islam is the religion and code of conduct for everybody. I'm asking you, the person in Malawi, the person in Burkina Faso, the person in Timbuktu in Mali, do you think everybody can afford a coffin, a suit and tie, a limousine to take them? No. So they can't even have a square meal some places. So Islam comes to the rescue and say, whether you are a rich person or a pauper, we will give you a good, decent funeral. And it's not your suit and tie that is going to help you. It's your faith and your actions that will help you. So that's why Islam is based on simplicity. The message is for all, male, female, rich and poor.
Mufti Sahab, mashallah. We had this beautiful response from Brother Abdullah. You gave him the name. And he's saying, this is Sean. Yes, I like the name Ahmed you have given to me. But can you please give me the meaning of this name and also tell me how to register it in my ID? I also want to know if I could change my surname too. I want nothing to do with Judaism anymore.
Jazakallahu khairan, my brother Ahmad. Allah reward you, jazakallahu khairan, abundantly. Let's take it step by step, my brother Ahmad. So you want to know about this name. So first thing, you go to the Noble Quran. And you can just Google Quran Made Easy by Mufti Afzal Ilyas Hussain and so forth. Okay, so Quran Made Easy, Mufti Afzal Hussain. So you will then read there. And chapter 61, verse number 6. One of the names, Mubarak, blessed, honorable name of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was Ahmad. So Jesus, peace be upon him, is teaching the people, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولِي يَعْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ, that a final messenger will come for humanity and posterity, and his name and name and nami ismi grami honorable name will be Ahmad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So my brother Ahmad, the famous names of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah's peace and blessings be on him. Muhammad, the one whom Almighty Allah has praised the most in the entire universe. Ahmad, I praise Almighty Allah the most. So now you are a Muslim and you're going to remember Almighty Allah Jalla Wala abundantly and profusely. So that is an excellent name, my brother. Chapter 61, verse 6, and Google down Quran Made Easy by Mufti Afzal. Now we come to your second issue. You must sign an affidavit. You got some friend, you got some. You can go to any Muslim, the mosque or somewhere, they'll help you out also. So you must remember, you must sign an affidavit, my brother Ahmed, that upon your death, then we all have to die sooner or later, then you must write down there that upon my demise and death, then I must be buried as a Muslim in a Muslim graveyard and nothing else, remember. Because sometimes people don't do that, then the family comes and they want to exhume the body and they threaten us and so forth. So that's of paramount importance for you, my brother Ahmed. Thereafter, you want to change your name, your surname, fine. Islamically, you just change your name, it's fine. Your surname, if you want to maintain it, retain it, is up to you. You want to change it, so put surname Islam, put surname Iman, like that is fine. So you must remember, my brother Ahmed, that now that's a legal issue. You will have to go to Home Affairs and so forth, and then just apply for change of name and change of surname, and you can write the motivation and what is the reason, if that is required. And the most important thing today, tomorrow, that just go to the mosque and speak to the imam there. And now many of them will know because they're hearing the program. My brother Ahmed, I spoke of you now in our mosque here. I said there was a Jewish brother, he embraced Islam. We're also happy. And inshallah, he will choose his name also. And now you came and told us you chose the wonderful name Ahmed. So just have an affidavit, and then the remainder you sort out with the Home Affairs. We make dua to Almighty Allah and pray to Almighty Allah. Allah keep us, Allah keep you steadfast, and you become an ambassador to Islam and invite others to Islam.
Mufti Sahib, is zakat payable on inheritance?
100%, and a very good question. I want all of you to understand this. If you understand Afrikaans, you will understand it very well. Een man's a dwert as another man's a brood. You see, you're rhyming dwert and brood. One man's death, then dead, he passed away, then the budal, the bread, goes to somebody else. When a Muslim person passes away, first thing we do is burial, funeral expenses from the estate of the deceased. If the family, friends want to pay for it, it's fine. Second thing is the debts of the deceased, personal debts, business debts, corporate debts, all that must be settled immediately with the creditors. Not after 3 days and 40 days and 100 days, justice delayed is justice denied. Third one is wasiyah. Wasiyah means to bequeath to non-heirs. So whether it's a non-Muslim, Muslim, whether it is your neighbor, maybe he helped you or so. So, and a Muslim person who's not an heir, so you can. But maximum amount is 1/3 of the net estate. Fourth one comes the shares of the heirs. So my father passed away, right? So in 1982. So that is now 42 years ago. So, rahimahullah, both parents passed away. So now I'm the heir, right? My brothers were the heir. They also passed away. So the point, my sisters are the heir. So now in a case like that, sometime it takes 6 months, 1 year to wind up the estate. But this is the only place in Islam. You must remember that milkiyat, ownership, is ijbari. It is imposed upon you. So you will be considered the owner, although you have not received it in your hand. Now it's Ramadan, and you calculate your zakat on the 15th Ramadan, 20th Ramadan. So that portion there, 100,000, 50,000, so to your current assets, zakatable assets, you will add it. Although it's not in your possession physically, but it is in your ownership. So therefore, dhammul lahiq bisabiq, you will take that amount, which you are still going to inherit, but Islamically you are considered the owner, and add it to your current assets, and then you pay 2.5% zakat on it, and that's compulsory.
Okay, sir, is it necessary to make wudu for every salah?
It is compulsory to make wudu for every salat if you are a person who is ma'zur. That's the term the Hanafi jurists use. And the term the Shafi'is and them use is da'imul hadath. That person is always like in problems. Let's take a male example, female example. Allah forbid, Allah protect us, this male got plumbing problem. So now he is leaking, dropping, dripping, all these things here. So remember, he tries this, but every 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, one drop and so forth. So now he's ma'zur. Okay? So when you are like that, so for every first salat, like now sunrise is going to take place. Yeah, by us 6:08 is sunrise. So you made wudu for Fajr salat, and now you are to read Ishraq salat. You are to read salat al-duha. So after the sunrise, you will have to perform another wudu and ablution. Then similarly, Zohar time, Asr time, Maghrib time, Isha time, for safety's sake, when the time enters, just make a fresh wudu. So that will be for the male. For the female, she is a mustahada. In time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, there were 13 ladies who were fell in this category. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah has mentioned their names. One of the greatest commentaries on Bukhari Sharif, Fathul Bari by Ibn Hajar, Asqalani, Sheikh Albani rahimahullah used to say, "Lam yulad mithlahu ba'dahu." You will never get another Ibn Hajar in the field of hadith, the master he was. Nevertheless, the point I want to make, now you are my sister, every day you got problems, spotting, leaking, bleeding, all, and it doesn't stop. So for every first salat, you will have to perform a fresh wudu. So we are, alhamdulillah, normal and so forth, we don't have this problem, so you don't have to perform a fresh wudu for every first salat. Easy example, I go to the masjid Asr time, we made wudu, and then when Maghrib time comes, we still are in the state of ablution, so with that same wudu, we perform our Maghrib salat, so there's no problem. But if you ma'zur, you da'imul hadath, then you have to perform a new wudu for that particular salat. Last question, Mulan.
Mufti sahab, it is mustahab to read the Quran, yet Quran is so highly emphasized during the month of Ramadan. Why is this so? Quran has been revealed over many years, not only in Ramadan.
The beginning of the revelation of the noble Quran was in Ramadan, on that day's consensus and ijma. Siratul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches the life history of the Master alayhi salatu salam, teaches us during the month of Ramadan, the Master alayhi salatu salam would recite the amount of Quran Sharif revealed to Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam would read to the Master alayhi salatu salam. So you are 100% correct. The whole entire year we should be reading the Quran Sharif. But in Ramadan we should be reading more. So fasting is is a duty, and tilawat of Quran is the beauty. So it doesn't mean that if we pay more emphasis now, we must neglect the Quran in the other 11 months. No, we must read every day, but more emphasis will be during the month of Ramadan. Jazakallahu khairan to you, Maulana Salim Kareem, and all the esteemed listeners of Radio Al Ansar International and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You, my brother Abdullah, our next program will be between 11 and 12 on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So you can listen to us and listen to us tomorrow morning again. And inshallah, any questions you have, please send them to us. Barakallah feek, Jazakallah khair, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.